We're going to now turn to Luke chapter 1. Gerhard and then Kushla are going to come and read the song. This piece with Elizabeth and Zechariah. It's that really old couple who up until now have been unable to have children. They're well beyond the years of childbearing. We've already learned that. God's promised them this son, John, who would go ahead of Jesus. So let's listen in to Luke 1, starting from verse 57. And then we'll read right through to the end of the chapter. Thanks, Kushla.
The birth of John the Baptist. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbours were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Zechariah's song. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of the salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets a long time ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abram, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Holy High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, forgive his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, if you'd like to leave that open, we'll be looking at it together. Can I just start, though, by asking, would you say you're an early riser in the mornings? Are you one who likes to catch the sunrise just as it's coming up? Oh, a few of you are. Yeah, that's good. I can answer that with a resounding yes in the wintertime. In summer, it gets up. Do you know what time is the sun rising at the moment? Yeah, about 5 a.m. Yeah, I haven't seen a sunrise in a little bit. Whether or not you're an early riser, you will have seen a sunrise sometime in the last year, I take it? Nod? Okay, you will have seen some photos of a sunrise sometime in the last 12. What is it that makes a sunrise so welcome? You can answer. This is a Q&A session. Go. A new day has come. Hallelujah. Yeah, what else?
The warm heat of the sun.
Someone over here. Yeah, the peace and quiet. Often there's a great stillness at dawn, isn't there? And it's lovely.
And the birds then start their merry song in the morning. Yeah, remember one guy saying he would get up and sing to the dawn. What are you doing that for? Was this someone told me this story? Well, but the birds are singing. I should be singing to the Lord. Was that you, Jim, that told me that? What else? What else makes the sunrise so welcome? The beauty, the colours you get in the sky take your breath away, and the rays coming through the trees. I love that. There's so much to be enthralled about a morning sunrise. Well, do you know, our passage, interesting, verse 78, likens receiving God the way we might receive a sunrise. Welcoming God the way we might welcome a sunrise. See it there in verse 78, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. A different English version of the Bible puts it like this. Same phrase, the sunrise from on high will visit us, will come to us. Now, you might think to yourself, I don't really think about sunrises very much, let alone welcome them, let alone think about how they help me welcome God. And if that's your reaction, you're not alone. The first people that sort of listened to Zechariah were thinking, what's he on about? What's all this about? They've got all their questions there in verse 66 and 5 and so on. What is all of this about? Well, because of the birth of his son, John, this godly old man, Zechariah, perhaps 60, 70, something like that in age, speaking with God's Holy Spirit, it says there, verse 67, he aims for you, he aims for us, to see what he sees and to rejoice as he rejoices, so much so that we might welcome God as he welcomes God. Welcoming God as we might welcome a sunrise, that sort of idea. That's how I want to step through this passage. And that's what this passage intends for us to do, and to be thinking as we go through it, How do we welcome God? So first, Zechariah, the main actor in this passage, he wants us to see as he sees, in particular, to rejoice in God's mercy. By the way, I've got a little outline in the news sheet. If you wanted to write down a question, take a note, an important verse, do so. It's there in the news sheet. Zechariah wants us to see as he sees and to rejoice in God's mercy. Now, earlier in chapter 1, three times we've heard the point, Elizabeth and Zechariah are old. They're beyond the childbearing years. So it's a miracle of God's doing that Elizabeth carries this child to full term. And then, verse 57, gives birth to a son. What a joy. What a gift. Every child, precious gift. And then the neighbours have got it right. It says there, the Lord has shown her great mercy. He's magnified his mercy to her. But in this birth and in the interchange about the name that follows, 59 to 66, Zechariah shows that there's more going on here than just a boy being born to a now happy family. There's much more happening here. God is coming to work. God is working in human history to fulfill all he's promised. That's the kind of gist of what Zechariah is bringing out here. So when there's this sort of business about, how should we name him? We should name him after his family line. Oh, hang on, you can't name him like that. That's not your family line. All of that sort of to and fro. When they think they know how it all should go, they're caught off guard by Zechariah. Oh, Zechariah himself was caught off guard. Back in earlier part in chapter 1, the angel said, by the way, you and your old wife are going to have a child. No, what? He says. And as a discipline, he's struck mute for the time of the pregnancy. So it's significant that when the people are discussing what the child should be called, Zechariah indicates, no, the child already has a name. His name is John. It's the name God's given him. John signals the coming of God. And with his mouth open and his tongue set free, love that, He praises God, verse 64. And notice, I mean, how might you think to praise God if you've had a son in old age, if you've been mute for 9 months and now you can speak? I mean, how might you think to praise God? Hooray for my son, yay for me. No. He praises God for all that God is doing for Israel, all that God is doing in history that's now coming to pass in the giving of this child, John. He wants us to see the bigger picture, to see what he sees. The hand of the Lord's upon this child. God's fulfilling his promise, and it sets them all off talking. Have a look there, verse 65 and 66. And we can understand why they've been set off talking and chattering and thinking, oh, what's going on here? It's been 400 years since a prophet has appeared in Israel at this moment in history. God's made all these promises. Well, are they ever going to be kept is their question. Oh, could this be? Is this the time? What's happening? What will this child be, they say. It begs a question just for us. Does this match how you expect God to work? A God who comes and works in the middle of history? God who sends a preparer to get people ready to meet God. A God who works through human agents. Is that how you understand God works? Zechariah wants us to see what he sees, but he intends more. As one of the leading priests of Israel, his song that we come to next is a song for all. And he wants all, including us, to rejoice as he rejoices. Why? What's the key part of the song that he wants, that he rejoices in? Now, I don't know if you've listened to music from a young age. I always listen to music. I have music on at the time of cassette tapes. Can any of you remember those? Some can remember even before. Okay. The ones that got chewed in the car cassette player and they never worked again. Yeah. I listened to the tunes more than I sung along with the words. I think I sung along with the words, but I wasn't really listening to the words. I was listening to the tune. And I think one thing that's changed as I've grown as a Christian, I now listen to the words a lot more. And as the song comes back on, Wham or Pearl Jam or whatever it is, I think, gee, was I actually singing that back then? Oh, I didn't know that. Words. Words are what make the song for me now. Tunes are important, but words. And Zechariah's praise for God overflows into a song. You can see how it's printed in the Bible. It's in the form of a song. An Old Testament form of a song, by the by, a psalm. And like all good songs, there's one big point, one central idea that he's singing about. Can you see what it is? He wants us to rejoice as he rejoices. What's the big thing? Well, as with many Old Testament psalms, the big point's right at the front, right at the top. Praise God because he has come to rescue his people. I'm saying rescue. It says the word there. He's come to his people and redeemed them. That is, rescue them out of slavery. That's what redemption is. And the next bit, he's raised up a horn of salvation. That's Old Testament picture language for might, the horns of a bull, strong. He's raised up a strong saviour. And then verse 74 over the page talks about being rescued from enemies. Just what the Old Testament expectations were. A king coming to rescue his people from all the enemies that his people face. The birth of John to Zechariah and Elizabeth is the signpost signalling God at work, God coming to rescue a people for himself. And it's big. It's very big, this rescue. The reference there to Abraham, verse 73, tells you it doesn't get any bigger than this. God comes to act for Israel. Why? So that Israel can be a blessing to the nations. That's how it's always been. That's how it's always worked. Now, Israel haven't always followed God, and when they've been helpless and hopeless and godless and all of that, they've had this promise, the promise that God gave to Abraham,
that one day Israel would be blessed and they would be a blessing to the ends of the earth, to all people on earth. And so even as Israel sit in exile before the time of Zechariah, they've got this promise. God, you promised. And now Zechariah says, it's happening in the middle of history. Humble Israel. God's coming to be to bless them and then cause them to be a blessing to the nations. Now, we see more of that in chapter 2. But the point now is what concerns Israel involves us. And so Zechariah would have us rejoice that God is rescuing a people to be his very own. Now, I've put that in the present tense. Actually, Zechariah puts it in the past tense. Did you notice that? He has come. He has redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation. Well, this hasn't happened yet. Well, why put it in the past tense? Zechariah is so certain that he can say it in the past tense. It is as good as done. John has come. That means all of the rest will certainly follow. John is going to signpost the coming king. That coming king is going to establish all that God has promised. Would you say you have that confidence in God? That both that he's a God that works in history to fulfill his promises, but do you know his promises? That he intends good for people, for all people, that he provides what's needed for people. That he's a strong God, powerful over all. That he loves with an everlasting love. Zechariah speaks in Old Testament categories here, the enemies and so on and so forth. But the great enemies of God's people, enemies of every single human being, Satan, sin, death. God comes to save, to rescue you from those, us. And at the cross, he does that exactly. Defeats the devil, rescues us out of condemnation for sins, is the one strong even over death itself. Christ is risen. Do you rejoice in these promises coming to fulfillment, coming to pass in the middle of history? Do you see what he sees? Do you rejoice as he rejoices? Zechariah wants you to take one more step, though. He wants you to welcome God as he welcomes, like we might welcome a sunrise. Let's have a look at their third heading. Prepared for the sunrise from heaven, that we might welcome God. Zechariah's song has two parts. The first part we've seen, praise. The next part, have a look over the page, verse 76, prophecy. Prophecy, speaking the word of God for people to respond to God. Actually, Zechariah's song is a song of prophecy. Zechariah was filled with the Spirit and prophesied. But now he speaks about John. John's coming to do the same. He'll be a prophet from Most High. He aims for people to respond, people like us. And John will prepare the way for the Lord, speaking to the people, urging them to respond. In our newspapers today, like the press or something, if you know how they have cartoons in them? If the cartoon drawer wants to depict God working in the world, how would they draw that? Like a lightning bolt from heaven? Perhaps a storm brewing, something like that, the elements. Well, God's sovereign over all of these things, so it's not entirely wrong. But they're missing the main way that God works in the world. He speaks. His word is how he works. When you hear someone receive and respond to the word of God, there's God at work. John fulfilled his calling. You can read on in chapter 3 and find that. He calls people to turn to God to have their sins forgiven as a gift of God's grace. God rescuing a people to be his very own. And Zechariah gives just a hint of how God is going to effect, to make this rescue happen. There in verse 77, 78. Well, actually, it tells us first of God's motivation. Have a look at verse 78. God's rescue arises out of his tender mercy, the tender mercy of our God. Oh, what an amazing thing to learn about God. If you've come from nothing else today, that is precious. You're going to go home with something absolutely stunning. The tender mercy of our God. Mercy is something you don't deserve. God gives you tender mercy, what you do not deserve, a gift. He's rich in mercy, not treating us as we should be treated, but far better. And the tender mercy, notice, is further explained by the sunrise. The tender mercy of our God by which the rising sun will come to us. So they're sort of one and the same. It's sort of poetic language, so it takes a bit of thinking to work out. Oh, tender mercy and rising sunrise is sort of referring to the similar. Well, actually, it's referring to the Lord Jesus. Here's Zechariah's reference to Christ, the rising sun from heaven. He likens the Son of God to, well, elsewhere, he's called the bright morning star, come to effect God's rescue. News to make your heart sing. It's light shining from heaven on those who live in a world of darkness. I told you I listen to songs now. So there's a band called Mumford & Sons. Heard them? Okay, some of you have. They've got a line in a song where it says, darkness. Oh, darkness is a harsh term, don't you think? But he goes on to sing, and yet it dominates the things I seek. Kind of lamenting that. I live in this world of darkness. In fact, I go after them. Duh, why do I do that? Is the sort of song. Well, his light come to shine on those who live in the darkness. We know what darkness is like. It's awful. We know what it is to live under the shadow of death. It's a pall, a great weight. Now, light. Light from heaven. A sunrise from heaven. Normally the sun rises from the east. No, here's a sunrise coming down. Come down to us, the light of the world. So it's right to say that in Jesus we meet the tender mercy of God. Mercy that's come that's undeserved, that's mercy. Mercy that's needed because it's come from God. God gives what we need. And tender, I love the tenderness here, kind of issuing, humanly speaking, out of the inward heart of God. And it's holy and wonderfully personal. It's not just some abstract quality. No, it comes walking up to you in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the expression of the tender mercy of God. Oh, doesn't that thrill you? The word prepares us to recognize Jesus. The imagery invites us to welcome him. Zechariah intends for you, for us to welcome him. To welcome him. To gladly receive him as Saviour, Redeemer, Lord. Our passage leads to this question of response. Response to the Lord Jesus. I mean, it's interesting for me that where Zechariah could sing about all the blessings he's received personally, a son, the fact that he can speak again, all that. Actually, what dominates his song is God. God coming to rescue a people for himself. God acting through this sunrise from heaven. So what's your response to God? This whole song leads us to that. What's your response to God? Do you welcome him? Do you welcome him? Do you welcome him as you would a sunrise? Do you welcome the Lord Jesus like that, with all of that wonder and gladness in your heart? We see in our passage what it is to welcome Jesus. Have a look there, verse 74, 75. Those who know themselves rescued by God rejoice to, it says there, serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all our days. The heart made glad by Jesus is the life set free to gladly serve God. And to do so with godliness in every different sphere of life. Let's think about how that plays out. Serving God in gladness. So it's Christmas. Lots of people are shopping. So let's think about that shop where there's customers, steady stream of Christmas shoppers coming in. There's a little staff team of, and you're one of the workers in that shop. What is it to serve God then? Well, it's to serve the customers and do your job and do what's expected.
What about when the team, the other staff team, are like biting and backbiting and carping on and criticising? And well, it's tempting to kind of roll the sleeves up and kind of have a go at that staff. No, serving God. Well, I'm just going to do my job, try and love them, not bite back. And when I do bite back, apologise and just keep going. We get to serve the Lord in every sphere of life. At home, at work, at school, at university, wherever it is. And even when ungodliness leads to our undoing, happens so often. Even ungodliness is an opportunity to serve God, to stand up again. Lord, sorry, help me do that better next time. Come on, let's go, Lord. Please help me. There's a life that's been set free to serve Him. And we're set free to serve Him all our days. Hallelujah. What a purpose for living. Do you have a purpose for life? Here it is. This adds such purpose and meaning. Even when life doesn't turn out like I expected it, you can always serve God wherever you are, whatever you're doing. The heart that welcomes Jesus is the life set free to serve Him in godliness all the days. Is this you? I pray it is. If it's not you, can I say, make today the day you begin. In a moment, I'll lead us in a prayer. Make it your prayer. It's thrilling to receive tender mercy from God, to be set free to serve Him all our days. Maybe you're not sure if you welcome God. That's okay. The best thing to do is to read on in Luke's Gospel. Better yet, read on in Luke's Gospel over summer with someone else. You want to read the Bible together? Let's talk. What a great thing to do. What a great thing to set yourself to do, to read Luke over summer. God's tender mercy to you. But let's also be clear, it's possible not to welcome Jesus, not to receive Him, not even to see Him, not even to be concerned by Him. The Lord Himself knows this. Last little thing, turn with me to Luke 19, would you? Luke, in your Bibles, Luke chapter 19, verse 41. So page 903. So Zechariah is serving the Lord in Jerusalem as one of the leading priests of the time. What happens? What follows? Jesus approaches Jerusalem, and as he saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would make for peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come when your enemies will build an embankment against you, encircle you, hem you in on every side. They'll dash you to the ground, your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you didn't recognise the time of God's coming to you." Oh, there are people who don't receive the sunrise from heaven. And what's Jesus' response? He weeps. And we should weep. It should cause all Christian people to weep to see Jesus not taken up. The light of the world rejected in preference for the dark. God's only rescuer left aside unrecognised. Should make us weep. Can I say, if that is you, don't let it be you. Do respond to God's tender mercy, which is for you. Well, like I say, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Maybe you'd like to make this prayer your own, just quietly in your heart, by saying, "Amen, yes, Lord, please can that be my prayer too," at the end. I might just give us a moment to head back to Luke 1, Zechariah's song, and consider as we see, look to see what Zechariah sees, rejoice in the way he rejoices, and ask the question, do we welcome Jesus as he leads us to do so? I'll just leave a moment's pause. I'm going to pray. If you'd like to make this prayer your own, I invite you to do so. God, our Heavenly Father, we rejoice that you've come to rescue, that in Jesus Christ, through his life, his death, his resurrection, you provide everything it is to forgive us,
to restore us to yourself, to make us your very own people. Father, we praise you for this. You who set us free from sin that we might serve you all our days. So, Lord, today we turn to you. Today we welcome your Son. Today, Lord, please include us among your people and give us all that we need to serve you in godliness all our days. Father, we come to you humbly, knowing that you are the God full of tender mercy. So please, might that tender mercy be extended our way too. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I just say, if that's a prayer like that, if that's the first time you've prayed a prayer like that today, tell someone. Tell someone. If you want to pray some more or talk some more, come and talk to me at the end. Here is God. He's good. He's good for you also.